The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What up, world? Welcome on and all to another episode of Ocho Live, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's BloggingTheBoys.com. My name is RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on Ocho Live. You can watch our live shows every Tuesday and Thursday at 3 p.m. Central Time on my Twitter or Periscope. That's at RJ Ochoa. You can also watch along live on the Blog on the Boys Facebook live feed. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have a podcast episode for you. We've shaken the way we do things up around here, and it's a little bit different for the off season. We're trying to bring in more guests, trying to have a whole lot more fun with these podcasts. And speaking of podcasts, if we could ask you something, if you could head to wherever you subscribe to your podcasts, whatever provider you use, and if you could leave us a rating and a review, that would be fantastic. I would thank you from the bottom of my heart. Ratings and reviews, always appreciated. They do help Blogging the Boys very, very, very much. We work around the clock to bring you the best Dallas Cowboys content possible. Today is Monday, March 4th, 2019, and we do have a very special guest joining us, John Owning. He of many different outlets. John wears a number of hats. John is one of the good guys in Cowboys and draft and NFL Twitter. He's on Twitter at John Owning, and I'm really excited for you to hear the conversation that we had with him. We got into some combine discussion, a handful of prospects. John is a connoisseur, in his own words, of edge rushers, and so it was really fun to poke his brain on that. If you follow me, you know that I really love Twitter and things like that, and the way content is produced, and John does such a great job of it. He really truly is very talented, and I'm a big fan of his. I'm a smarter person for his work, and I really appreciate it. He dropped a brand new mock draft this particular Monday over with the Dallas Morning News. We'll get to discussing that with him. A quick little note before we get into the news of this particular Monday. The weekend might be a bit shaky when it comes to Ocho Live. We might have just a little hiccup. Full disclosure, I am getting married this Saturday to my beautiful bride. And so, as you can imagine, we have a lot of things going on and a lot of preparation this weekend. So if we fall short of an episode on maybe Friday, please do forgive us. I am trying to figure out if Papa Ocho can join us. But again, as you can certainly imagine, things are a little hectic. Very good, but a little hectic. So, as mentioned, today is Monday, and there's been a lot of news lately. Cole Beasley reportedly wants $20 million guaranteed from his next team, whether that's the Cowboys or somebody else. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that's happening. This is something that we got into in a little bit more detail on the latest episode of the 750, which is available in your Blogging the Boys podcast. We do have a new 750 and a new episode of Bruising the Boys with Michael Sisamore and Tom Ryle. So a big jam-packed Monday for you when it comes to all of our podcasts. Another small little note, it was reported something very interesting when it comes to the Cowboys, obviously something that won't influence or impact them for a few months at the very least. And for what it's worth, this did kind of fly under the radar. We wrote about this on Sunday at bloggingtheboys.com, a report from Ferd Lewis. Ferd Lewis works for, well, to be, you know, to be honest, he works in Hawaii for the Honolulu Star Advertiser. And this report noted that the Dallas Cowboys are, or have, excuse me, emerged as a potential opponent for a preseason game against the Los Angeles Rams that will be played at Aloha Stadium. You'll remember that Aloha Stadium was the home of the Pro Bowl before the NFL broke that whole process. So, the NFL had announced back in November, I believe, that the Rams would be playing a preseason game there in 2019. The Rams do not have their brand new home stadium yet, so the NFL has tried to kind of move them around and show them off. I think they were rumored to be playing in China at one point, and that kind of fell through. But they will be playing in Hawaii at Aloha Stadium this particular preseason, and the Dallas Cowboys rumored to be the team they will be doing that against. The Cowboys and Rams have played in the preseason for a number of years, obviously, with the Cowboys training in Oxnard, the Rams being in LA. Those games happening at the Coliseum. The Cowboys and Rams obviously faced off in the divisional round last season, so it'll be interesting to see how that storyline is built up. And for what it's worth, the Cowboys do play the Rams in the regular season in 2019. But the biggest news of the day on Monday came as, honestly, peek behind the curtain as we were putting together the podcast. Had to do a little bit of editing. Some things happen. A little bit of editing. DeMarcus Lawrence, Dallas Cowboys star pass rusher, officially going to be given the franchise tag by the Dallas Cowboys. The deadline for this was Tuesday, March the 5th. But the Dallas Cowboys clearly deciding, you know what, man, stop it scared, bro. You know what, let's just get it done. And so DeMarcus Lawrence getting the tag. Also on Monday, Jadeveon Clowney given the franchise tag by the Houston Texans. Both Clowney and Lawrence members of the draft class of 2014, along with Zach Martin for the Dallas Cowboys, who already has his long-term contract. So some quick thoughts on this before we get to John. Look, there has been a lot of panic about this already on Twitter, and a lot of freaking out, and sometimes this tends to happen, as you're likely aware, with various Cowboys topics. There's no need to worry here. Look, DeMarcus Lawrence has said, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, that he will not sign a second franchise tag, that he will not play on it, and I don't blame him. I don't think anybody does. I mean, it was certainly commendable that he did that last year and made $17 million for it, and he balled out and he put the Cowboys in a compromising position. And so now they have to pay him. They know that. And I think that they realize everything's going to be okay. This move simply buys the Cowboys time. They have until July 15th now to negotiate a long-term contract extension with DeMarcus Lawrence. If they weren't close, it was not going to happen in a span of 24 hours or 20 hours. I mean, the clock is ticking. So good for them realizing that they needed some time. Obviously, if you're DeMarcus Lawrence, you want your long-term contract. You want to secure the bag, as they say. But this is just the way the business works. And that's not to say it's a business, but that's the way the business works. I mean, they don't have time right now. They need to get some time. So that's what they did. This franchise tag, it's not a big deal. It's not anything to worry about. They obviously love DeMarcus Lawrence. They just committed, at the very least, over $20 million to him for this season, or at least they're willing to commit that. So without being said, let's discuss more edge rushers. Let's talk with the king of them. John Owning joins us next right here on Ocho Live. Joining us now, we have somebody who took way too long to get here, and I'm going to blame him personally because I think it was all his doing. The one, the only, from the Dallas Morning News and from a lot of places, we'll get into it all, John Owning. John, how goes it?
Goes it well, man. Sorry it took me so long to come on the pod. It's all my fault. You know, it's busy times, but I'm excited to have for you to have me on, man. This is going to be fun stuff.
I've told myself forever that when I finally get you on, the first question I'm going to ask you is going to be something very specific. So I have to honor my, you know, what I've told myself. It's not an uh-oh thing. I feel like nobody understands the perils of having a last name that begins with the letter O. Like, alphabetically, people like kind of forget about us. Like, I feel like we're in no man's land, yeah, you know, when you stuck. Line up for stuff. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's terrible.
It's stuck because we're in the last part of the line from like the J, from like whoever, but it always seems to end with P, you know, right. So we're always at the very end and then it starts with R. It's just always a struggle. We never get the front of the line. We can't even get the middle of the line.
No,
we have to be back every time, and because everybody wants
There's nobody like typically like I don't know if you experience this. Like your friends are never around you. Like my friends always far away. They're always like the G's.
Always in the front.
Yeah,
always in
exactly.
the front.
I hate them. So I'm glad that you you've lived that hardship that I have as well.
I definitely sympathize.
But so on Twitter at John Owning, very simple, very easy to find. So Dallas Morning News, Best Coast Boys podcast. I mean, you're everywhere. It's hot. Maybe that's why you took forever to get here.
Yeah, you know, I've been just trying to grind and get as much work as I possibly can and grow. And the last, for those of you that didn't know before this, I was the managing editor of the NFL site with FanRec Sports. Mm-hmm. So that was a full-time gig, and I was working really long hours there. I was working probably 12 to 14-hour days every day, 6 days a week for about 2 or 3 years. So when FanRec became defunct and I had to find new gigs – just to fill up all my time, I had to, you know, Pete, you know the deal of grinding, being a freelance journalist. You have to put a bunch of gigs and put them together. So I just started reaching out to everybody. Luckily, I got an editing gig at The Quant Edge, which is an up-and-coming fantasy site. They do a lot of analytics stuff there, learning a ton about fantasy football over there that I wasn't really privy to before, sticking to mostly just football stuff. And then I did a lot of work with The Score, which is one of the biggest Canadian-based sports websites. Did a lot of their defensive line breakdown stuff, which was fun. A lot of fun. Had a lot of fun breaking down pass rush every single week. It's my passion. Mm-hmm. It's the thing I love to do most. And then after that, I went to I reached out to Damon Marks over at the Dallas Morning News and got super lucky that they were willing to bring me on in a freelance role there to do film evaluation for them. And that's just really been a huge blessing for me ever since. They've kept me on for the off season to go through the draft. So I'm really excited to bring free agent and draft analysis to them. So yeah, it's just, you know, just grinding, you know, trying to climb the ladder as a freelance journalist, you know, just trying to catch on somewhere full time, you know the drill.
Yeah, I mean, it's I feel like we live in an interesting day and age. I think you're a few years younger than I am, and so I, you know, just the era we've grown up in and lived in is a very interesting one. But yeah, I mean, I think it's one where you've got to wear a lot of hats, you know what yep. I mean? And so, so that's certainly really interesting. And so I know that you do a great job of disseminating the appropriate information at the right place. You know, I know I get a lot of information from John Owning if I'm being fully honest, but I know I'm like, okay, if I want to read this from John, if I'm in a particular mood, I go to a particular source, particular mm-hmm. outlet. So that's, what I enjoy. But yeah, I mean, the Dallas Morning News thing has been fantastic. I mean, they're great. Their team is great, but you've added a really great spice. I know we have a lot of mutual friends who feel that way.
I appreciate
it's been
that.
A nice pop. In fact, you and I were talking on Monday. You had a brand new mock draft drop.
Yes. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Just had a mock draft. I've been doing monthly mocks over at the Dallas Morning News. Ahead of the draft, I think in April, we're going to bump them up to weekly, but right now, yeah, we're doing the monthly mocks, and with the combine just finishing up today with the defensive backs, we thought it was the perfect opportunity to take a look at how the combine may have affected what the Cowboys may do in the draft. And, you know, the Cowboys are a team that, that uses athletic and measurement thresholds a lot with their evaluation. So I think the combine is something afterwards we could really take a look and take an even closer look at who the Cowboys may be interested, just kind of fine tuning who they may like.
Sure. And I'm curious for your thoughts on that before we dive deeper on some names. We know the Cowboys do have some thresholds. People, you know, are still upset about the TJ Watt decision. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? If you were a lawyer, you know, and I know you live on the West Coast, so being a lawyer out there might be interesting, you know what I mean? if you were a lawyer and you had to defend that, and you know, because I know people love to dunk all over that, but if you had to defend that methodology, how would you do so?
Well, the first thing I would talk about is initially coming out, Taco projected much more favorably as a base defensive end in run situations. He is much stronger at the point of attack than TJ Watt was coming out.
Sure.
He was much.
To be fair, I would like you to defend, I'm the judge here, not just mm-hmm. the Taco pick, but the using the rubric that they use overall.
Oh, gotcha.
You're good. But again, I mean, I know you're used to trying to defend Taco, so I'm sure that that's where you jumped.
Yeah. But yeah, so the point of the measurement and athletic thresholds is, you know, these guys at the beginning of every season, they have a player pool of thousands of players that they have to whittle down into 100 or 200 names that they have on draft night. So the best way to be able to weed out through those thousands of players is having these thresholds that players have to cross for them to fit in your scheme. Mm-hmm. And that depends, that varies greatly from team to team, from scheme to scheme. Like the Cowboys, for example, they really value cornerback length. Not a lot of teams do that. Some teams don't value length. Some of them value speed. Some of them value the agility test a lot more than the Cowboys. And that's just fitting your schemes. It's just the threshold things is just an easy way to whittle down a giant player pool into a really manageable amount of players that you can really focus on and really glean and get and really nail down the type of players they are. Because if you think about it, the Cowboys have what? They probably have between assistants, scouts, executives, they probably have 15 to 20 guys who are watching film, writing reports type mm-hmm. of thing. And if you have 1,000 players in a pool, there's no way 20 people can go through that many players and be able to give each player their due, so to speak. So if you have all those measurement thresholds, it's just a way to fine tune, you know, like I said, and whittle down a big list into a manageable list so that you can be more accurate with your selections.
That's interesting. If I was looking at that through a negative lens, I would say that's lazy. And I don't know how maybe you feel that way to some degree, but I think it certainly does make things a little bit more efficient. You're right. I mean, there's only so much manpower you have. Even somebody like the Dallas Cowboys only has a finite amount of resources.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, for certain scheme type of things, you do need to meet certain thresholds to be able to thrive. Like in, for example, Chris Richard, like we were just talking about with cornerbacks, with how he values press and how he's values the ability to condense throwing zones when you're playing that deep third, you know, cover three. He wants that length, not only because you can press, but also because it condenses those throwing windows. And if you have a guy like, for example, Jordan Lewis, if you put him on the outside, those throwing windows are going to be a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a little bit bigger, wider gap between the zones. And that's going to be able to be leveraged by opposing teams. So when you have certain schemes, you have to have in certain situations players that meet certain thresholds for the defense to run as well as it possibly can.
That's a good explanation, I think, because I know that there are people that do get they look at the T.J. Watt issue and feel like that's just an ignorant way of thinking, but it's fair. So there's a handful.
And I don't want to get out of the way that I'm not advocating for Taco over T.J. I had T.J. over Taco in my drafts, in my pre-draft analysis. You guys can go back. I got receipts. But the thing is, I'm. Understand why the Cowboys made that pick more than most do. Most of them just look at it and they see TJ Watt's unbelievable production and they go, oh my God, I can't see any reason why the Cowboys would have thought before the draft why Taco was better than TJ. And I just think that's using kind of hindsight's 2020. No, at the time, they didn't know that TJ was going to produce at this level. I didn't expect it, and I was one of his biggest fans coming out.
No, that's fair. So, I mean, like, you know, that is purely hindsight because there was justification for Taco to some literal degree. But
exactly.
Okay, so I've played in my own mind a what-if game with Randy Gregory's selection for a long time. And that's really easy to do, too, given his checkered past at this point. If you look, you know, for example, and everybody I think that draft or everybody thought they would replace DeMarco and there was Duke Johnson and David Johnson and Tevin Coleman or whatever. If they do that, the ripple effect is massive because then they probably end up with Jalen Ramsey the following year and whatever. But the Taco one, I think, has the potential to be that. If they take T.J. Watt, because if they take T.J. Watt, what's the situation right now? You know what I mean?
They're looking great. They're looking great on both edges.
Exactly. So that's not at all a concern. And even, let's just say they still draft Dorrance Armstrong, so you've still got some like change to play around with. I think that has the potential to be a new sort of swing moment, but you know, whatever. So you are a self-professed lover of edge rushers, a genius in that department. I think John Owning founded the school of edge rush, and I think there's a building. I've seen it before. So I was curious for your take, and you tweeted about these guys. I wanted to be very specific and get guys that you tweeted about so people can go look at your aforementioned receipts at John Owning. The first guy, I saw you got some flack on him, Chase Winovich from Michigan. Your thoughts?
He's a guy that was really one of the biggest risers from the combine. He tested really amazingly well in all the agilities. He left a little bit to be lacking in the jumps and the vertical and the broad, but he had a fantastic 40-yard dash, fantastic, I think, 10-second dash from what they showed on TV. His three-cone drill was under 7 seconds, which is fantastic. His short shuttle time was I think, under 4.4, which is amazing. So all those type of things are great. But even before, when you get into that, when you compare Chase Winovich with, say, a teammate of his, Rashawn Gary, he's much more technically refined than Rashawn Gary in every way possible. He's really fantastic at shortening the corner with his hands. He uses a really good two-hand swipe to shorten the corner really well, and he has really refined footwork to corner to mitigate some of his lack of explosiveness. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about him is he lacks explosiveness, so he doesn't bring a lot of power in his hands, but he's fleet of foot enough that he can stress an offensive tackle set to get them to overset and open up that inside counter ability for him on pass rushes. So that's really, really beneficial for him. And he's the type of guy that I think unfortunately for him, he doesn't have the length necessary for the Cowboys to really consider him, mm-hmm. unless he really fell in the draft for some reason. So unfortunately, I think teams are going to like him a little bit more than the Cowboys, though. But for my personal evaluations, I'm a big fan.
How do you think a Michigan edge rusher would be received by Cowboys fans?
Oh, not good. Not well. Because all Michigan rushers are the same, obviously. Yeah. All, what is it, LSU corners, Morris, Claiborne, they're all the same. Yeah. Can't get them. Unfortunate.
Who do you identify as the true DBU? Because I feel like everybody professes that they're DBU.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. Right now, probably, it has to be LSU or Ohio State, I would think, right now. Well, just based on recent classes.
Earl Thomas thinks it's Texas.
Yeah.
So I think it's LSU, too.
Hey, man, it's ASU, actually. You just don't know. You just didn't know.
That's a good point. Those Sun Devils, that, you know, they're quite formidable. You guys, Brock Osweiler is your post.
Give him a lot of picks in practice. That's a good point.
Okay, so I wanted to pick guys you tweet about, and I also wanted to pick guys with names that I loved. Because I'm a believer that if you have the right name, like, that helps. Like, I really actually believe that. Sure. So Max Crosby has two X's in Max, which is, I don't know how.
I'm a big fan of the two X's.
Yeah, like, how did his parents decide that? You know, like, what makes them say, you know what, we need another. But
Schooler, they were probably just like, Mac, it needs something. It needs something. We're close.
Think about how long that would take to write. Because you would have to do the X twice. That would take, and then like when you learn cursive, the X is really hard.
Yeah, you never know. It could have been some like sabotage. For my name, I was supposed to be named Jonathan with no H. But my dad filled out my paperwork and he hated the name Jonathan. So he changed it on my birth certificate to John with an H. Without my mom knowing. So he pulled the sneak attack. Maybe Max's dad pulled the sneak attack and he's like, double X's, let's go.
Okay. I mean, he's one short of vulgarity. I mean, you know what I mean? So Max Crosby, your thoughts?
Interesting guy. He's a guy that I've only had two exposures to him. It's really hard to find tape on his, especially defensive tape for him for college. You can find some of their offense a little bit, but he's a guy super athletic on tape. Bobby Belt is a guy I talked about him a lot before the season started, and he reminded us a lot of Randy Gregory's inside counter ability. He's not Randy Gregory from like a flexible speed rush type of ability, but he understands how to set up his inside move very similarly, and he uses that inside counter swim very similarly, and he's very effective with it, and that's a thing that he's going to be effective with in the NFL. He's the type of guy that I could see rising a lot. He was on no one's radar really coming into the combine, but I could see him going in like the third-ish round, third, fourth round, based off what I've seen so far.
I think you said something. You said he was on no one's radar. How do you judge that? I mean, you judge that off your Twitter feed? You judge that off of...
I judge that off of mostly Twitter feed and then people who I'm talking to, mm-hmm. based on like all the friends I have that are doing the draft. And then big draft too, like the Kuipers, the McShays, all of those guys. No, none of them are really talking to, but then there's always those a couple guys in the draft community that have their sleeper names that they like. And Max Crosby is a guy that I got to give credit to. One of our friends, Bobby Belt, has been on him since the very start.
You don't need to give Bobby credit. We'll just, you know. Okay, so while we're going, I want you to rank these guys. So far we've had Chase Winovich and Max Crosby.
Okay, Winovich over Crosby.
Winovich over Crosby. I also, because again, when it comes to the name thing, there's like, you got to be able to scream the name. Like when somebody makes a play, like when Leighton Vander makes a play, like you feel really cool screaming Leighton. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So Winovich has that potential.
Yeah.
Max Crosby, like I can't get behind either one of those.
Yep. Like Max.
Yeah. Exactly. That's such a letdown. okay. I think you were tweeting with Bobby on this. Sutton Smith, and I know this is a sensitive area for you. How do you feel about Sutton Smith? Which is actually kind of unfair to people with lisps. That's a hard thing to
say. Yeah, it is. Man, Sutton Smith, I got hoodwinked by Sutton Smith in the offseason. He's a guy that at Eastern Illinois, he's really a fantastic speed rusher. He bends the edge as well as anybody. He's fleet of foot. He has fantastic footwork, stride length, stride frequency. All those type of things are on. He's just the size. He's just too small. He's 6 foot. He's a rocked up 230. So I don't know how much weight he can even put on more than that. He lacks length. He lacks strength. So all of those situations make me believe he's not going to survive on the edge, especially full time. Definitely not full time. So we might have to play like an off ball, off ball linebacker, like a Mike type of linebacker position, while maybe playing some edge and pass rush situations, third and long type situations. But yeah, he did really good in the three cone. He did really good in the three cone. I think he had the best three cone time of any edge defender at the combine. But like, all you have to do is go watch him at the Senior Bowl, and you'll see he was just dominated in one on ones and in the game whenever he had pass rush opportunities with these Power Five top offensive tackles that have NFL type size, NFL type length.
So Sutton is clearly your third ranked edge rusher of the three so far.
Yeah. Of my heart, third actually in real life.
230 sounds so big already, and so it feels impossible, like you're saying, to get bigger than that and to stay, maintain quickness. It just feels impossible. But so you mentioned Eastern Illinois. Did you know that Nine God went there? Not Nine God, John.
Northern Illinois. My bad. He went to Northern. My bad.
I know. Any excuse to bring up Nine God.
Yeah, Tony Romo. As soon as you said that, I was like, shh. Dang it.
They're all the same. So like, I don't remember who I was reading about last week. I was reading some mock draft or something. Maybe it was on The Athletic, and it was somebody that had gone to like Northeastern, Oklahoma or something like that. And I couldn't remember where. Oh, it was Dennis Rodman. I was reading about Dennis Rodman, and it had nothing to do with NFL draft actually. and he went to like, I don't even remember, but it was like Northeastern something, Oklahoma, and I couldn't remember if that's where Patrick Creighton went. But he went to like the opposite geographical direction. Like Rodman went to like Southeast and Patrick went to Northwest. That was kind of interesting.
It's confusing when you start getting to these FCS prospects, right? And you start getting all these directional colleges with, I get them all mixed up.
So you got to keep it simple. Arizona State. But everybody knows the Wildcats, reign supreme in the desert. I'm just joking. It's a joke. It's a joke.
Excuse me?
They've got Kevin Sumlin. I'm an Aggie, John.
Mad at him.
I am. I mean, I'm just, you know, I had to throw him a bone. I mean, you know,
Herm Edwards, RJ. We have Herm.
It's true. I would not argue with that. Okay, the final edge rusher. Now, I couldn't tell your tweet, and it was fantastic if it was on purpose, but you quoted, it was like a stat with all the edge rush performances, and you said, I'm sweating. And I don't know if that was a pun off the Montez Sweat thing.
We punning today, bro.
Just making sure. So Montez Sweat, I'm assuming, is your number one ranked edge rusher here. How sweaty does he make you?
Oh, he makes me all the sweat. Even before the combine, I was much higher on Montez Sweat than a lot of my contemporaries were.
You were first.
I wouldn't say I was first. I would say Mel Kiper's first by putting him fifth overall in his mock draft, which was eye-opening to say the least. But I liked him a lot more. You know, he got a lot of criticism for his inability to bend the edge because a lot of people mentioned that he has stiff hips, and I do believe he has a little bit of stiff hips. But his length is amazing, and he's fantastic at using his length to shorten the corner. There are guys like Brian Burns, a lot of people know in this draft from Florida State. He's the type of guy who he has the speed. He can run, do that kind of Von Miller run under the table to get that, to get pressure off the edge. But Montez Sweat, he doesn't have that type of flexibility, but he has that type of burst and he has that type of hand technique to be able to shorten the corner so that he has more success, pass rush success in the NFL. I think especially too, when you start giving him wider alignments than he got at Mississippi State, he had to play a lot of five technique right on that outside shoulder, the offensive tackle, which kind of limits your ability to win with speed because you have to kind of go up and then out when you're rushing because it's kind of a right angle. But the more you align outside, the more that angle becomes more straight and more direct.
And the hypotenuse.
Yes, exactly. You're more able to leverage your burst and your speed. And then when you combine that with his length and his hand technique on the edge and his ability to sequence on the edge, sequence between hand, between a long arm to a chop to a push by, all these type of different hand techniques, I think he's going to be one of the more successful pass rushers in this class. I think you've got guys like, obviously, Nick Bosa is number one. Josh Allen's really good. Brian Burns is up there. But right after those guys, I think Montez Sweat is that number four guy in this class.
Also a name that you can have a lot of fun with. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's a great jersey. You know what I mean? To get you get a Sweat jersey. And I'm ashamed to admit that when I was in high school and I thought I was an athlete, I would wear one of those like sweat-inducing shirts. You know what I'm talking about? They're like plastic.
I wear those all the time when I have to cut weight for jiu-jitsu. Not fun.
Well, see, but you're a real athlete because you do jiu-jitsu. I'm talking like I would play basketball in my driveway wearing this thing. Like it was.
Oh, that's not fun. Not fun.
It was a way different. I would throw on Fort Myers. Remember the name? And I thought that like I was just whatever. It's I don't know why I went there.
The things we do when we're young.
Exactly. Okay, so not an edge rusher, but Christian Miller. I saw caught your eye. I'm curious why.
Big fan. I think he fits really all the Cowboys criteria for a defensive end. He has amazing length. I think he had 35 and an eighth inch arms. He worked with the linebackers at the combine, but I think he's going to be able to play with his hand on the dirt in the NFL really well. He did it at Alabama. He played kind of, I would say, probably 60-40, two-point stance between three-point stance. And he just has the burst. He has the length, the same thing. And his hands are similar, like Sweat. He has fantastic hands, but he's even better at sequencing and countering inside. He's even better than Montez Sweat. He's just in that respect. He's not quite the athlete that Montez Sweat is, but I think he's just a step above in his refined in his hand technique and his footwork. Now, the biggest issue with him right now is injury history. He had a torn biceps, I believe, his junior year that ruined most of his season when he was really supposed to come on strong. This season, he's ended the season hampered with a hamstring, and that's the reason why he didn't run at the combine. So those are types of things you're going to have to figure out with the medical team. But from a play style and a measurement perspective, this is exactly the kind of guy that could replace Randy Gregory on the edge for the Cowboys if available at number 58.
Now, I want to get to some questions we got for you, John, because you're everyone's hero, and we had a lot of questions for you. But I have one question. I'll be selfish first. Let's look at not that they have a lot of problems necessarily, but let's look at the Cowboys' current defensive line problems as a 100% pie, okay? What percentage of that pie could be solved by kicking Taco Charlton inside a defensive tackle, in your professional opinion?
Well, now that Randy Gregory is – I'm dealing with him like he's not going to play this season. Sure. I don't think that solves much, to be honest, because then you have only three defensive ends on the edge, and then you have a huge hole there because you have – that means – if you bring Taco inside, you're probably going to have to kick Tyrone Crawford back outside. And I think that's a really mitigating effect.
Okay.
So I think if you draft somebody, then we can start talking about moving Taco inside.
Sure. So let's do that. You're in charge of everything here. If you can. Oh, okay. So if you can take any one of these guys you want within reason, what would that be your plan? I mean, if you could structure things that way, would that be how you chose to get down?
What I would do we drafted Christian Miller at number 58. What I would do is I would maintain Taco as a base end on like first rundowns, but then I would definitely kick him inside to rush primarily from an interior rush position. That way his quickness goes from merely mediocre on the edge to it's above average to it could be a weapon for him on the interior. His length is going to be even a bigger weapon for him in those confined spaces. As long as he feels more comfortable with the timing and how much quicker action is on the interior, then yeah, I'm going to be rushing him from the interior defensive line a lot. Nickel situations, I'm going to be reducing him down to defensive tackle on a large majority of the times we do that. So yeah, I think that would be the best thing. And I think that would mitigate a lot of your issues on the inside with the interior pass rush. I think that's one particular spot the Cowboys really need to improve on this season, is getting more interior pass rush. I think everybody was really happy with how Antoine Woods really played.
Totally.
Malik Collins really started to come on, especially in terms of his defending the run. I think this is the best season he's had defending the run, in my opinion, since he's come into the NFL. So yeah, I think moving Taco inside, and especially even if you wanted to get a little bit dicey, have a fun little NASCAR package, you could have Christian Miller, DeMarcus Lawrence on the edges, and then bring Tyrone Crawford and Taco Charlton into the defensive tackles, and then you got a lot of speed on your defense and a lot of pass rush ability, and that it's going to be tough for offensive lines to figure out who they're going to want to double in those situations.
See, like, that description makes me excited, and it's kind of interesting how Taco's become this, like, you know, everybody has like something that doesn't totally fit in your junk drawer that you have to kind of like angle. He's become that. There's something that you have to get something else to fix to feel better about it, I guess, which is unfortunate. Okay, yeah. So our questions for the great John Owning on Twitter. Jay Burns wants to know, these are not necessarily address questions. After the combine, what prospects might have slipped into Dallas's range in the second round, and what prospects are now out of reach? So let's go one guy that might fall to 58 now, and one guy that is definitely now not going to be sitting there.
That's a good question. I think one guy that's definitely going to be available is Draymond Jones, Ohio State defensive tackle. He tested kind of mediocrely, and he was the type of guy who most of the big draft people who are good at predicting what's going to happen in the draft, he was going in between that 30 and 45 range. But I think now that he tested kind of in the mediocre range, he's going to kind of fall to that Cowboys range. And if they want to find an interior rusher, that's the kind of guy that they could be interested in.
Okay.
Interested in.
Okay. I like that. Jerry Tillery's name has been floating around the Twitter sphere for a while. Coincidentally, I did not plan this. John, who is on Twitter at Maltese_Falcon1. Yeah, it's pretty impressive handle. Wants to know, is Jerry Tillery the type of player who this staff would like? Pretty general question for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. From a play style point of view, from a measurement point of view, he's the type of guy you want to do. He's incredibly powerful at the point of attack. He can reset the line of scrimmage extremely well, and he's extremely powerful with his hands. He has a plethora of swim moves, really, really powerful chop moves to help shorten the corner and allow him to penetrate as a pass rusher. Check out the Stanford game, Notre Dame versus Stanford, if you want to talk yourself into drafting Jerry Tillery in the top 10, probably one of the top three performances by any prospect in this draft was Jerry Tillery against Stanford. Just a fantastic player, but he ain't making it to 58.
is you think Jerry Tillery's game there is better than Leighton's Oregon game?
Yes.
Wow. Look at that.
Yeah, it's good. Check it out. I think he had like 4 sacks. He had like 4 or 4.5 sacks. It's mind-blowing stuff.
That's bold. Okay, we have a couple tight end questions. Obviously, Jason Wynn coming back has inspired a lot of questions here. We did have Jay Sternberger on the podcast last week, so we are partial to him.
I'm partial to him. He was going to be my answer.
I meant we, like you and us. Sam Hooper maybe also works out in the trash bag t-shirt. Wants to know your thoughts on UCLA tight end Caleb Wilson, as well as Mississippi State D-back John Abram, who I believe did meet with the Cowboys.
Yeah, Caleb Wilson, not much to like really on film. He's really doesn't really like contact, not really a nuanced runner. He's kind of a guy that relies solely on his athleticism, and he does not like the physical aspects of tight end play. I would even say he's more of even like a big slot receiver more than he is even you can call him a tight end. I really wasn't even impressive. I wouldn't waste a draft pick on somebody like him, to be honest.
Jeez, John. Goodness. But, he has sorry. A family. And,
Mississippi State defensive back, though, John Abram, big fan of his. I think he's a guy who could be like a Jeff Heath replacement. I think I tweeted out yesterday.
Yeah.
He's a box player, fantastic in the box, huge hitter, can be a force, a real dominating force against the run. Kind of gives me Landon Collins vibes, except I think Landon Collins is a little bit better of an athlete, a little bit more fluid of an athlete than him. He's a little bit more of a linear type of runner. but he's exactly that kind of – can have that kind of role in the Cowboys defense.
Final tight end question. Wink Marvel, who is very active on Twitter, now just wants to know generically, the answer to this is obviously not Caleb Wilson, but what tight end do you like now for the Cowboys, considering, in Wink Marvel's words, not mine necessarily, because Jay Sternberger was on the show, now that most of the tight end group was not impressive at the combine?
Man, I've been telling everybody that's been asking for the last few weeks that I'm all in on Jay Sternberger to the Cowboys. I'm really impressed with his ability as a pass catcher and his improving ability as a run blocker. You know, he's the type of guy that he may not be all the way there as a run blocker, but he's willing. And that's a big thing that you want in collegiate tight ends. And as we've seen, just with the Cowboys, we've seen guys who have come in as terrible blockers. I'm thinking of James Hanna, and then develop into the best blocker of the whole tight end group when he was here. So these are traits that can be improved. And I think with Jay Sternberger's ability as a receiver, he's really fantastic there, really fluid runner, even though he's not the most explosive athletically. Really like his potential here, maybe in like the third round.
Well, a Texas A&M tight end did make his case to join the Cowboys when Jason Witten came out of
retirement. Marty B!
Would you... do you remember where you were when that draft happened? Because I can tell you exactly where I was when that happened.
I do not. What happened?
I was picking up my date from the senior prom when I saw, and I was at her house, and her dad had on the draft, and I saw Martellus Bennett get drafted. And I was going to Texas A&M, so it was a really cool moment. Obviously, it did not go that well, but it was still really cool.
That's cool.
So yeah,
I'm not skipping prom for the draft.
I was 18. I mean, so, you know, I was...
I skipped my senior prom, so props to you.
But see, like, the cool people skip their proms, not the guys who are playing basketball in their driveway with the trash bag.
I would not, definitely not constitute cool in high school, that's for sure.
Last thing, John, I don't want to give away your mock draft, but it was great. The teaser line was so juicy, a slot receiver who can do something that Cole Beasley can't. Now when I read it, I was expecting to read, ask for less than $20 million guaranteed. but that was, not the case. I don't want to give it away, but the receiver that you mentioned, for people who are listening, go read John's latest mock draft. It's on his Twitter at John Owning, or go to Sports Day. What do you like about this particular receiver who you mocked to the Cowboys?
Well, the thing I think he brings that Cole Beasley really didn't provide for the Cowboys offense is a vertical aspect. I think he wins. He has the deep speed to win long and stretch a defense, and that's just going to open up things in the short to intermediate game for Dak Prescott even more. It's going to force safeties to have to play farther back. They're not going to be able to cram the line of scrimmage, and that's going to potentially open up things for the running game in situations. So there's just so many effects from having a slot receiver who can really stretch the field with his deep speed. And this is really what I think that this particular player can do.
We won't name him. Look at that.
He who must not be named.
Yeah. You're a Game of Thrones guy, right?
Oh,
yeah. So he's like the faceless man.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say the element you just described, you have video evidence to back up in the mind. It's great. Everything John does is great. Everything he touches is great. That's why he had to touch this so we could be great. on Twitter at John Owning, what's coming up soon so people can start foaming at the mouth?
Oh, man, we got a lot of fun stuff coming up at the Dallas Morning News. We're going to be diving headfirst into the free agency. Whoever the Cowboys sign in free agency, I'm going to give us a full write-up on strengths, weaknesses, how he fits on the Cowboys team. No matter if it's just a little signing or a big signing like Earl Thomas, I'm going to be giving him a write-up about it, so be ready for that. And then when that's not happening, we're going to be going through my draft previews of all the positions and particular players who I think have a particularly close to potentially being a Cowboys pick. So I'm really excited.
Very last thing, John. Did you see my tweet last week with the mask that Earl Thomas was wearing and the font?
Oh, yeah. Yep. It looks green. It looks green.
Do you buy it? I mean,
I buy it. People think you're crazy. People think – I think it was Hellman was thinking you're a little bit crazy there.
Hey.
I'm with you, though.
John Owning on Twitter.
Think about it. Earl Thomas, these athletes know that they're going to be scrutinized every little thing that they put on these social media channels. So you got to think that, especially a guy like Earl Thomas, who's one of the smarter, more intelligent, more worldly guys, He would definitely be the type to hide some Easter eggs in an Instagram post.
That was my thought, because he knows that like his Instagram gets blown up all the time. If it was just some average player, I would assume it was more of a coincidence. But this is a very calculated dude. That was I don't know if it was more my thought or my hope, but they got a
and crossed. And the thing is, do you think that he took that picture and just posted it right away? No, he picked that picture out. That wasn't like a, you know what, this would be a great picture for the gram type of situation.
Yeah.
I'm with you, RJ.
Respect.
Continue. Continue hunting for those Easter eggs.
That's how I roll. It's John Dot owning on the gram, right?
On the gram, yes, John Dot owning.
And you can see his jujitsu photos. He'll make you feel bad about your lack of physical exercise with all of his. On Twitter, at John Owning. John, thanks so much. This was a blast. We have to do it again soon.
Hey, appreciate you. Would love to come on.
That was so interesting and such a great conversation. And I wish you could have seen John as we were recording. He has such an energy. He's such a good guy. He really, truly is one of the good dudes. You know, in terms of people that cover the Cowboys, cover the NFL, he is so great, and I'm so glad that we finally got to have him on. I really, really, really enjoyed that, and I hope you did too. Hope you learned something. You know, kicking Taco Charlton back inside is something a lot of people have played around with and discussed, so I thought it was interesting to kind of poke his brain on. But again, a big, big, big thanks to John. Go read his mock draft. I promise you will like it. So, Monday was big. DeMarcus Lawrence given the tag. Cowboys maybe heading to Hawaii. Who knows what's going down? We will be back on Tuesday with another live show. We're working on a special guest for Wednesday. And again, this weekend will be a little tricky, but things are thankfully settling into place for us. Have the greatest Monday ever, really. Have the best Monday ever and the best Tuesday morning ever before we see you again. And you know why? Because you deserve it. So we will see you in the Indiana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.